Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. Teams across the continent will resume the qualifying campaign for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations tournament later this month. Four-time African champion Ghana currently leads Group C with the maximum 6 points from two matches. The Black Stars of Ghana will next face the Falcons of Jediane from Sudan in home and away qualifiers. The Sudanese currently have 3 points from two matches. Ghana's head coach has named a provisional squad for the Sudan games. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori reports from Accra, Ghana.
Head coach of Ghana's Black Stars, Charles Kwabena Akuno, at a press conference in Accra, named his provisional squad.
Richard Ofori, Maritzburg, South Africa. Razak Abalorora, Azam FC, Tanzania. Richard Atta, Heart of Oak, Ghana. Kojo Amwakun, Ashanti Gold, Ghana. Andy Yadom, Reading FC, England. Gideon Mensah, Sulte Varigen, Belgium. Nicolas Opoku, Amiens, France. Joseph Aidu, Celta Vigo, Spain. Kasim Nuhu, Fortuna Dusseldorf, Germany. Habib Mohamed, Asante Kotoko, Ghana. Mubarak Wakasu, Jiangsu Suning, China. Alfred Duncan, Fiorentina, Italy. Idrisu Baba, Real Mallorca, Spain. Thomas Partey, Atletico Madrid, Spain. Kudus Mohamed, FC Nordjylland, Denmark. Christopher Entry Ajay, Paderborn, Germany. Tariq Fosu, Brentford, England. Andrew Ayew, Swansea, England. Samuel Owusu, Al Fahar, Saudi Arabia. Eugene Ansah, Hapoel Ranana, Israel. Richmond Vuachi Yadom, Resta Belgrade, Serbia. Jordan Ayew, Crystal Palace, England. And lastly, Yahya Mohamed, Eduana Stars, Ghana.
The coach, who was in Europe to monitor Ghanaian players in the various leagues, said it's sometimes difficult to convince parents and players born of African descent to choose between their two countries.
Some of them are not sure because of probably cultural reasons. And so I made it important to them to know. We're looking forward to them. And I must say that if we're able to get those guys, there are names, I think six of them, it will bring a lot of competition in the team. And so it went well. I was very happy to have done that. Most of them, I saw them play and then speak to them. And I also try as much as I can not to go to them direct, but also to involve their parents, which was very important for me to understand the kind of angle they're coming from. Because sometimes you might talk to them and you wouldn't know what they want. I think the parents helped a lot. Some of the ex-players who got themselves involved, the likes of ACN and others also helped. And it all went well.
The 33rd edition of AFCON will be staged in Cameroon from January 9 to February 6, 2021. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chika. Triathlon made its Olympic debut at the 2000 Games in Sydney, Australia, and the three-sport event of swimming, cycling, and running – has been contested at every Olympics since then. The 2020 Olympics in Tokyo are expected to feature 55 athletes competing in both the men's and women's events. Tokyo 2020 will also add a new mixed team relay triathlon event. American Julie Moss has been described as a triathlon legend. VOA's Anna Rice joins us now with this profile of Moss.
Jogging along the ocean shore is a ritual for Julie Moss. Many call Moss the most famous triathlete in the world after she literally crawled to the finish line in the 1982 Hawaii Ironman World Championship. She came in second in that race. The Hawaii Ironman World Championship, 3.8 kilometers swimming, 180 kilometers biking, and a 42-kilometer run. The race was broadcast live on American TV.
I watched it on television, and I was mesmerized, having not really done anything competitively, athletically. I was a surfer girl from California. I was a student up in Central California, and I was studying physical education and kinesiology, and I thought this would be a great senior project.
So Moss packed her bags and headed to Hawaii.
I looked at this as a school project, right? And my typical reaction to school projects was wait, 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 and then do everything at the last minute, thinking, okay, that'll work for an Ironman triathlon, 2.4 miles of ocean swimming, 112 miles of cycling, and 26.2 miles of running. Okay, maybe I was completely crazy.
With no special training, Moss unexpectedly found herself leading the race. But suddenly, her body gave in.
Within the last 10 miles of the marathon, that I was in trouble. My calories didn't seem to be giving me any energy, and I was so inexperienced with that kind of, that long of day. So for the last hour, I felt like I was just trying to get from one aid station to the other, get a little nutrition. And then the final mile is where my legs collapsed. I had to fight the urge to want to quit and give up and just refocus on what I could do. And what I could do was figure out a way to get myself up off the ground when my legs weren't paying attention to the signals from my mind. I figured out I could use my arms. And then that will to win came in.
Moss confesses she felt ashamed. After all, she was being watched by dozens of millions of viewers.
It was difficult physically because my body was falling apart. I think as hard as it got physically, my mind got stronger. It had to. That was my only defense.
She kept fighting. She literally crawled to the finish line with thousands watching. Kathleen McCartney, who was initially about 20 minutes behind, got ahead of Moss steps away from the finish line. She later said she didn't even notice Moss and just wanted to finish the grueling race. But the world will forever remember Moss.
Ironman changed my life, and what changed happened in that final mile of the Ironman. And I have learned so much about when you're in extreme situations, that is when you find out what you're truly made of. And what America saw and then the world saw in my Ironman race was that we all have a place inside us that we can go if we're willing to.
Moss never quit triathlons. She married an athlete, and now it is their son who takes part in competitions. Today, due to health reasons, Moss can't run marathons, but she says she has another dream she wishes to fulfill.
One of the dreams still out there is to maybe be there on the start line of the 50th anniversary of the Ironman.
Some might say it sounds crazy, but nothing, it seems, is impossible for Moss. And she proved that not just to millions, but to herself, already back in 1982. Anna Rice, VOA News.
Listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Basketball Africa League, or BAL, has postponed the league's inaugural season, which was scheduled to tip off on March 13th in Dakar, Senegal. The BAL's president, Amadou Gallo Fall, is from Senegal, and he issued the following statement, and I quote, "Following the recommendation of the Senegalese government regarding the escalating health concerns related to the coronavirus, the BAL's inaugural season will be postponed." And he continues, "I am disappointed we are not able to tip off this historic league as scheduled, but look forward to the highly anticipated launch of the BAL at a later date." The BAL is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, NBA. And it marks the NBA's first collaboration to operate a league outside North America. 12 teams are scheduled to compete in the BAL's inaugural season, and they represent, in alphabetical order, the following countries: Algeria, Angola, Cameroon, Egypt, Madagascar, Mali, Morocco, Mozambique, Nigeria, Rwanda, Senegal, and Tunisia. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Will the coronavirus disrupt the Tokyo Olympics? Well, that's a question we've been trying to answer on the Sunny Side of Sports in recent days. Joining us now with an update is VOA's Gwen Uten. Hi, Gwen.
Hey, Sonny. Well, if you want to know whether the Olympics will begin as scheduled, it depends on whom you ask. On Tuesday, Japan's Olympic minister Seiko Hashimoto left open the possibility that the Tokyo Games could be postponed to later in the year. She told members of parliament, quote, "The International Olympic Committee has the right to cancel the Games only if they are not held during 2020. This can be interpreted to mean the games can be postponed as long as they are held during the calendar year." Hashimoto added she is doing everything possible to not have to face that situation. On the same day, IOC spokesman Mark Adams held a news conference in Switzerland where he insisted there is no plan B for the upcoming games, and he said a joint task force had been created to help deal with the coronavirus ahead of the games.
Yeah, we are in constant contact. We have a working group that consists of the NOCs, the IFs, the Japanese government, you've seen, and the local authorities in Tokyo, and obviously the organizing committee, and advice from the WHO. That is the best constellation of advice that you can get in this situation. And you can come up with all sorts of speculation and all sorts of doomsday scenarios, but we would prefer, and I think you'd understand that we would prefer to stick to the advice from the experts and to stick to the advice of those who know, and we still see no reason to think other than that we will be going ahead.
And Mark Adams urged Olympic athletes to prepare to compete in Tokyo as planned.
As you know, there's not even an international travel ban, and still not a pandemic announced. All the advice we're getting is that the games can and will go ahead. There are some issues and complications with qualification, although thankfully National Olympic Committees and IFs are working very closely together, and we seem so far to be doing a very good job of making sure athletes can compete. So at this precise time, we are working, moving ahead, and expecting the games to begin on the 24th of July.
Athletes competing in non-traditional sporting events like skateboarding and climbing have anticipated making their debut in this year's games. And 4 years ago, IOC President Thomas Bach gave the okay to include surfing as an Olympic sport. One Olympian hoping to ride the wave towards a gold medal is Japanese-American surfer Kanoa Igarashi, who says he clearly remembers when he found out surfing would be included in the 2020 Olympic Games.
I was in my car with the webcast on my phone, in my wetsuit still. And yeah, when I heard it, it was like this, you know, big, it felt like a big moment for me, just like, you know, this is happening, you know, not for me, it's more for my sport. It was like, wow, like this sport that I've done for so many years, and this is pretty much what I consider my job, is an Olympic sport now, you know? And since that day, it's been like, yeah, like you have a new goal of becoming a gold medalist, and you have an opportunity of being a gold medalist and to be in the Olympics.
Igarashi began surfing with his father when he was just 3 years old. His parents migrated from Japan to the United States with a specific goal to groom their son for surfing greatness. Now, Igarashi's journey has come full circle. He is set to compete on the same beaches that his father surfed growing up and hopes to bring home the gold for Japan with his parents watching.
I can tell that they're very happy. You know, it's not, you know, my parents are the type of people that they don't really show. You know, it's like it's one of those things where I have to kind of feel what they're feeling. You know, they're not going to show me how excited they are or how sad they are. They don't want to put any pressure on me. And kind of, you know, they're scared to put pressure on me. You know, and that's just my parents being, you know, parents. You know, worrying about me having too many media obligations, or, you know, me being getting too caught up in, and within the pressure and the moment and all that. So, you know, my parents are just like, just trying, you know, keep their lips shut. But you know, it's. I know it's a huge moment for them, obviously for any parent, you know, seeing your child in the Olympics is one thing, but the connection that I have towards this Olympics, surfing being the first time, a sport where they grew up doing too, obviously in Tokyo, where all my family's from, it's, you know, I feel like I'm representing them in the Olympics as well, so it's, you know, it's much more than just having their son at the Olympics, I think.
Igarashi says he wants to become the face of the new Olympic sport and help shape the image of surfing for the people of Japan. You can see Igarashi catch the wave in his Olympic debut at the upcoming Tokyo Games. And it's been confirmed that the island of Tahiti has been approved as the surfing venue for the 2024 Summer Olympic Games in Paris. And I'm sure Igarashi is looking forward to surfing those waves as well. And that is all from me, sports fans. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. And catch those waves, Igarashi. I love it. Surfing at the Olympics. Hang 10, Igarashi. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is Evelyn Akato, co-captain of the Nigerian Women's National Basketball Team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
A wonderful ride with a ray of sunshine and a pinch of love awaits you. We are coming to take you on a magical journey where things are much more alive and happening. Join us on March 13th. To hear the greatest Disney hits ever. So don't forget to tune in, only on Water Crossings, The Voice of America.
I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. An Italian golfer is getting ready to defend his title at the Arnold Palmer Invitational in Orlando, Florida. David Hyland reports from Orlando.
The PGA Tour pays its annual visit to Arnie's Place in Orlando, Florida for the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard. With all the travel the world's best players do, concerns about the coronavirus was among the topics of conversation with defending champion Francesco Molinari.
I know as much as you, if not less. I don't know, to be honest. We just follow, obviously, the directions that we're given by the tour. So far, luckily, it doesn't seem to have an impact on us directly. But yeah, like I said, I saw, you know, first person. I wasn't in Italy last week, but I was obviously reading the news, and you know, they cancelled football, soccer games, which are huge over there, and closed schools. So it's definitely having an impact there. Hopefully, it won't get to that stage. over here.
Here is where Molinari had one of the best Sundays of his career in claiming last year's Arnold Palmer.
I remember, yeah, starting the day thinking, you know, there was maybe half a chance, but I was quite a long way back and with a few guys in between me and the lead. So you obviously hope for a good day, but, you know, you can't really know how it's going to pan out. And then, yeah, just played an incredible round, played well, putted really well.
Molinari nearly eagled the demanding par 5 16th hole, which is again a focal point as this week's designated hole in the Tour's Aon Risk Reward Challenge.
But the memories from Sunday last year are playing the hole very well. I hit a pretty much a perfect drive and a really good aggressive second shot over the flag and nearly made the eagle putt. I think compared to some other holes that we play during the year in the Aon Risk Reward, 16 is in a way more straightforward because, you know, it's just about hitting a good driver, and then I think 99% of the field will go for it from the fairway because you have enough room and you have a good chance of making eagle. So the strategy there for me is to be aggressive, obviously, as long as you're on the fairway off the tee.
After this week, it's off to the Players and then the Masters a few weeks later. A couple of events the former Open champion is taking aim at as well.
There's been a few physical things and technical things, but I'm working through it. I think I've got some good planning for the next few weeks, building up to Augusta and some good direction to work towards, and just looking forward to be out, play 18 a day, and hopefully getting sharper day by day.
Italy's Francesco Molinari speaking at this week's Arnold Palmer Invitational. For VOA Sports, I'm David Hyland at Bay Hill in Orlando.
Hello, listeners. This is Masembe Isaac, silver medalist from All Africa Games 2019. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
As sports organizations around the world grapple with how to deal with the rapidly spreading coronavirus, the National Basketball Association has issued a memo for its players. The NBA is recommending the players replace that most common staple of sports celebrations, the high five. Instead, the league is recommending the players use the fist bump, or one of my favorites now with the advent of coronavirus, the elbow bump. The elbow bump. It's a good way. It's a good way, as the league says, it's a less infectious option. The league also urged players to avoid handling items from fans, such as pens, balls, and jerseys, which the fans often put forth for autographs. In the memo, the league says the coronavirus remains a situation with the potential to change rapidly. As I mentioned earlier in the show, the Basketball Africa League, which is sponsored in part by the NBA, they've decided to postpone their inaugural season because of coronavirus. On a happier note, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Tim Duncan, the former San Antonio Spurs great. Duncan won more than 1,000 games as an NBA player. Well, he got his first victory as an acting coach on Tuesday night. He filled in for longtime coach Greg Popovich, and the Spurs beat the Charlotte Hornets 104-103. And that wraps up the March 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let me give an elbow bump to my producer, Mook Bill Yabaro. Another elbow bump for VOA engineer PJ Elliott. And here's a long distance elbow bump for all the Voice of America listeners tuning in this evening. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
This is Science in a Minute.
As Michelle Kunimoto, a student of astronomy at the University of British Columbia, was combing through mounds of data gathered by NASA's former planet-hunting Kepler mission, she discovered 17 new exoplanets. Among the newfound planets includes an Earth-sized world that resides in the habitable zone of its host star. These so-called habitable zones are areas surrounding stars where liquid water could exist on the surface of rocky planets. The potentially habitable planet is said to be just 1.5 times the size of Earth and is about 1,000 light years away. Of the 16 other new planets, the researchers say that the smallest of them is only 2/3 the size of Earth. They say the remaining 15 planets were found to range in sizes up to 8 times that of Earth. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.